Welcome to Color Country Politics, where we discuss all the important political issues facing Iron County, Utah. Our guests include elected officials and community leaders in or representing Iron County.
This is episode 30. It's a tourist trap.
And welcome back to Color Country Politics. We are thrilled that you are here today. I am Jenny Hendricks.
I'm Jesse Harris.
And we are so excited to introduce a new guest to you today. We have Maria Twitchell with us. She is the executive director of Visit Cedar City and Brianhead. And I know that very few of you know what that is, which is why we had her on today.
Yes. Yeah. Well, you might have known me as under a different name, because we used to be Cedar City Brianhead Tourism Bureau.
Okay.
We're Iron County Tourism. So we're trying to get be like a lot of other visitor bureaus out there. And so we've adopted the Visit Cedar City Brianhead name.
Gotcha. So. Well, tell us what you do, what your office does. What is your goal? What is your mission?
So my mission is pretty simple. It's put heads in beds. So I am a promoting arm of Iron County. We promote all the attractions, the events, the meeting facilities, you know, anything that would basically bring people from outside of Iron County into our area to spend dollars and to stay overnight.
That's great. So I think you're doing a great job from what I hear.
So I hope so. I think people don't realize what we do, because we don't spend our money, our funds, really here in the area. I mean,
right.
In order to attract visitors, you have to spend your marketing dollars outside of the area.
Sure.
So what we do is being seen by people all over the West and all over, well, actually internationally. We do international tourism as well, promotion. So many people don't realize what our office does. I think they associate us a lot with the visitor center, which is under our umbrella.
Okay.
So we're the, you know, there's the building on across the street from Brad's, and everybody's like, oh, there's the visitor center. So that's where we're housed, but that's just one component of what we do.
Okay.
But yeah, our main goal is to, you know, come up with campaigns and strategies to bring those dollars in.
That's great.
For economic development.
Yeah. That's the piece. And I don't know if you want to jump on this now or if you've got a piece later, but the economic piece of what you do, I think, is so important for everybody to know, because I think, you know, as a resident here in Cedar City or Iron County, I don't think we really consider the process of how those tourists and their dollars get here.
Yeah.
So what is the magic, you know, that brings these people here? And if you have some numbers, I think it would be fascinating to talk about the economic impact that your office has on the local economy.
So essentially, a good portion of all the sales in Iron County come from people who don't live here.
Mm-hmm.
So we attract people to come into Iron County to spend their money, and then they leave.
Uh-huh.
So we don't have to educate them. We don't have to police them, generally.
But we hope we don't have to police them.
You know,
those tourists can go to Vegas.
We don't have to provide residential water. We don't have to do any of that kind of stuff. You know, they come in, they spend their dollars. And so what we want them to do is to come in and spend their dollars and spend by spending time and not just being kind of, they used to call it windshield tourism, where they come in and they snap a picture and they leave. We want this to be a destination.
Sure.
So we have strategies to even on that part to create some destination development. But the dollars that that visitors spend are pretty significant. So it's about an average of $140 per day per visitor.
Wow.
Here in Cedar City.
Wow.
Brianhead's a little more because the recreation's a little more, and the accommodations are more. But here in Cedar City, it's about $140 a day, and it adds up to be about 90. Well, it's well over 90 million, but it's about $98 million in spend.
Okay.
Here in the county, supporting local businesses, and it's not just restaurants. It's not just lodging. It's everything from Yeah, it's Walmart. They stop in the Walmart. They shop in the downtown.
I see a lot of people up and down downtown. I mean, you can tell the second that tourism season starts.
Yes.
I mean, they're just walking up and down the downtown area. I think that's so huge.
So they're spending their dollars. They're keeping these businesses in business.
Yep.
And they create an environment in which entrepreneurs want to invest and create other businesses. And as locals, we get to enjoy those. So because tourism supports local business, we get to enjoy businesses that typically would not be here.
Exactly.
You know, if they were in a smaller town or a town that didn't necessarily attract this kind of this kind of spend.
I've said before on other podcasts that, you know, the dining scene here is well above what you'd expect of a college town of about 30,000.
Yes. Right. And, you know, dining establishments have a certain portion that they know has to come from people who don't live here.
Yeah.
Some restaurants actually depend more than they do on the locals. And others, you know, they do good with locals, but visitors enjoy them just as much. So. Sure. So that all that spending creates a taxes, and it creates a tax base, which gets to be reinvested into our community. So the certain tourism taxes are what helps support our office, so we can continue to go out and promote and do billboards and TV ads and, you know, internet marketing, and then other taxes. Stay in, we reinvest in our community, which I think people don't realize.
I think people don't really understand the connection between how much of our arts and different things like that are really supported by tax dollars of people that don't live here.
They don't live
people that are visiting here. So the wrap tax.
Just like wrap tax. Wrap tax is another tax that a portion is actually paid by, or, you know, contributed by people who don't live here. We have what's called restaurant tax, which I think a lot of people don't understand what that is. So that's a 1% tax on all prepared food in Iron County. It goes into a restaurant tax fund. And we, I'm the staff person for the county that oversees that fund.
Okay.
And we accept applications and we disperse funds through that. That go back into the community. They, it does help tourism, recreation, cultural and convention projects, but those projects are typically things that also help our community.
Oh, absolutely.
So a good example is the Aquatic Center. We contributed restaurant taxes towards the Aquatic Center.
Okay.
Festival Hall, we contributed those taxes towards that. And the community enjoys... gets to enjoy that facility.
So this is creating either more events and facilities and so forth that we would otherwise have, or it is lessening the local tax burden for the people who live here because we are getting the benefit of people coming to our community, enjoying these things, leaving their dollars here in the form of being taxed on their sales and restaurant and
You know, and it's an easy tax. Not that I know how sensitive people are to taxes, but again, these are taxes being paid by people who don't live here. So right now they estimate that the tax relief that comes from tourism related activities and tax revenues is over $1,300 per household.
Wow.
So
no kidding.
$1,300 you don't have to pay out of your pocket to have great facilities and services within the community are paid for by people who don't live.
That's amazing.
To put it in perspective of how giant that is, the Utah Taxpayers Association recently put out a report that it was about the taxes in Cedar City are about $600 per person. So if you're looking at a household of four, $2,400 of the taxes of your household are actually over half of that's paid by someone else.
Paid by somebody else.
That's incredible.
So, well, and then eventually some of our visitors actually do turn into residents. They visit.
Oh, yeah. I can attest to that. They do.
They visit. They fall in love with our community. They buy a home, which helps our local builders, helps our real estate people.
Yeah.
A lot of times they're retired, so we're again, we're not having to educate their children, but yet they're contributing to the education taxes.
Many will come and start a small business.
They'll start a small business. So, they'll move their business here.
Gardsite just moved their business because the president of the company had come here so many times and loved it and said, you know what? All my workers are remote. I'm going to put my headquarters where I want to live.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see more and more of that. Yeah. People want to live and work where they play.
And I think people recognize what an amazing quality of life we have here versus some of the larger metropolitan areas where a lot of these people are coming from.
And, you know, I think people are can be concerned about that. But again, these are still people who have discretionary incomes enough to visit. They're bringing in, you know, they're bringing in, they're you know, they're gonna buy these nicer homes and they're gonna the property values remain, and it's just, you know, it's a good mix.
It is
of people who will come and who will move to Cedar City or come and visit Cedar City.
That's right. That's amazing. So how do you do that? How do you do what you do? What is your process? So you're bringing all of these fabulous people here to visit and spend their money.
So
here's the reason I asked the question, because you and I sit on several different committees and stuff together. And I hope I'm not telling tales out of school here.
but we wear many hats.
Yeah. And it never fails whenever there's a question about, well, you know, what's the source to go to on this? Or is there grant money for this? Or how do we do this? Maria knows everything about everything related. And so if there's ever, you know, if there's ever something that comes up in one of these, you know, myriad committees that we're on, Maria goes, oh, yeah, you can talk to this person at the state or this department over here, and they do grants for this. And so help us understand what is your process? You know, kind of what's the background that you do to bring people here?
So our process is basically, you know, we come up with strategies and then we try to figure out funding sources for the strategies, because the funds for what I do come from the lodging, comes from the lodging tax, which is that 4.25% tax on every room night sold in Iron County. And that generates a certain amount of money, about $1.4 million. But in order to be competitive and to really advertise, we got to have more money. We're very competitive with our neighbors, even though we're great friends.
Yeah.
But they are certainly...
Who do we compete with?
We compete a lot with, not surprisingly, but Washington County, Garfield County, King County, Park City.
You see those big Kanab billboards just outside of Las Vegas.
Yeah. We have to compete with that in order to get those dollars, those same, you know, those travelers who are coming into Southern Utah. We want to make sure we get our piece of the pie. And so we have to be, we want to make sure that we're competitive. And so I pursue grant monies from state, from the state, whether it's through the tourism office, through the recreation office, you know, because we've got to build product. We've got to have things for people to do. And then I chase dollars like you wouldn't, like you wouldn't believe. So we can build a bigger budget. And hopefully, it, you know, again, by bringing more people into town, they'll spend more dollars, and then there'll be more dollars in the tax base. So
it's a snowball effect.
It's a snowball effect. So so we come up with a budget. We come up with the strategies in which we want to do. And, you know, if you want to advertise internationally, that is a completely different ball of wax as opposed to trying to advertise domestically. So we, most of our budget is being spent in the domestic markets, you know, our Las Vegas, our Southern California, you know, neighboring states. And then what we do is we co-op our dollars, so we get partners in the international aspect so that our dollars are leveraged and so we can be competitive there. So we have partnerships with our neighbors, and we have partnerships with the state of Utah too. So it helps us have a presence in a very, you know, a very big market. So we concentrate on very specific countries.
Which is the most surprising one we've gotten a good reaction from?
Well, I think people are kind of still surprised about China.
Yeah, I was going to say, there. I see a lot of Chinese tourists.
We have lots of Busloads of Chinese.
The busload, yep.
You know, if you sit and watch the Chinese restaurant here on Main Street, those are busloads of Chinese visitors. And that is remaining quite strong.
Okay, good.
So I think people are kind of surprised by that. Canada is still our number one international market.
Okay.
And it's that I-15 corridor. They love, they have no, Canadians have no problem getting in a car or in a vehicle and doing long
I see more planes from Alberta than Montana.
Yeah, exactly. And they're going, they're snowbirding and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so Canada is just always remains strong with us.
That's great.
And then anything that can connects to California generally is where we're going to see good response. So Australia is a nice emerging market.
Nice.
Interesting.
And then, you know, anything pretty much coming out of the Asia markets are good. We still get, today we had several people in the visitor center from Italy and from Sweden. So we're still seeing, you know, the European countries and whatnot.
So what about this area is most attractive to the tourists coming in?
Very, very simple. Central location to national parks.
For the parks, right.
Mm-hmm. So when the national, if the national parks are having issues, then we have issues.
Yeah.
And that's a whole, I mean, that could be a whole different podcast just right
but
there.
But last year, when the federal government had their shutdown, I know the governor opened up state funds to keep those doors open because this area is so dependent on those tourism dollars coming in.
And we were the only state that did that.
I think that's incredible. And it is because, as we were talking about just a little bit ago, we are the best run state. And so we do have those funds to help keep those tourism dollars flowing and keep those businesses open. Mm-hmm. And
it shows you what there's a great partnership there between the state and the national parks. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, I mean, there's always going to be issues, but there's a partnership there because, you know, they realize that there is an economic impact from these parks. There's been some great advertising that's happened with the state of Utah that brought many, many people into our parks in the last 5 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the investment that's been made by private enterprise, you know, building hotels, building restaurants. Mm-hmm. So we have to make sure that the parks remain at a level in which, you know, we can sustain.
Yeah.
And then we have to start looking at developing other things for people to do.
Right.
So destination development is going to be one of my main priorities moving forward.
Okay.
So, and destination development means creating reasons and products that visitors are going to want to do, maybe in as an alternative to going to the national park.
Or in addition to. And I know I've heard lots of people talk about, you know, overcrowding or, you know, different things like that. And you know, I guess marketing works. It's been successful, you know.
Now that people know that Utah is the place, we need to say, and here are some other places you might not know about.
Yeah. So you're starting to see campaigns switch to, while you're here, here's the road less traveled. Here's the in-between. So you're going to see a lot more of that messaging. Not only from the state level, but also from local levels.
Out of your office,
out of our
too.
Office and out of our neighbors.
Yeah.
What are some of the other things that you see are that like our local promotion? I mean, are the trail system, the mountain biking, what are you seeing as really being a draw for people other than the parks?
Well, I mean, the trails, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And we're getting a lot of great feedback about what's happening with our trails and just the additions that we've had here just in Cedar City in the last 5 years. The big plans, you know, the trail system that's going in on the perimeter, you know, through the BLM is designed by the International Biking Association.
Wow.
So it has this kind of this, you know,
sort of a validation.
That this is going to, these are awesome trails. They're awesome right now. Mm-hmm. And as we keep adding them, it's going to be a big deal. A lot of people don't realize how much mountain bikers spend. They spend good money.
How much does a mountain bike cost? I mean, you kidding me right now?
Sky's the limit.
$2,000 for a basic
minimum.
You know, if you're into mountain biking.
Yeah.
But then they love, you know, I hate generalizations, but bikers like to hang out at great restaurants. And they like to, you know, hang with people, and they want to, they're not into franchises. They want mom and pops.
They want the local flavor.
Local players.
Yeah. I think that's so fabulous. So fabulous.
So mountain biking is definitely, we're definitely putting some emphasis in that. Not only in just promotion, we're also taking the restaurant tax dollars and trying to, you know, co-op with our partners and get some more trails built and make sure the infrastructure is there. Dark Skies is another one. People will travel all over the world to see stars. We are very spoiled here in Southern Utah because we see the stars all the time. We don't even think about them. But like with China in particular, they, like, whenever I meet with their people, they always say, I have never seen the stars, or I have never seen the Milky Way. I mean,
doesn't that just blow your mind?
It blows your mind.
We are so spoiled
because, you know, pollution, lights, whatnot. So Dark Skies is definitely one that we want to make sure is bringing people in, which is great because they're going to go see the sky. Dark Skies are going to have a room.
Right.
So
they're going to need dinner. They're going to need a room. They got plenty of time to go shopping.
So, and it's basically free.
Yeah.
You know, the sky is the limit. So,
that's so awesome.
So that's definitely one that we're pursuing more more of. I think our art scene is, you know, we've got this cornerstone with the Utah Shakespeare Festival and this beautiful Beverly Center that we invested in.
Okay, good.
So
good.
Our tax, you know, the tax dollars went to that as well. And then I think it's just kind of building out from that. What can we make out of that and build, you know, into the downtown, build into the university, through entrepreneurship, through attractions, through whatever, so that this becomes even more of a year-round kind of thing.
I know one of the things that you and I are kind of working on is making our downtown its own kind of destination.
Yes.
I think we're just sort of in the beginning phases of that, but that's another thing that your organization is really heavily involved in. And you think about downtown destinations, you know, across the country, and I think we have all of the components for that. You know, where people will go, I love that downtown, I'm going there. Because of the boutiques, the restaurants, you know, the shopping, the entertainment. That's a project that I am just, like, I'm so, so invested in, and I'm so thrilled about, because I can just see all of the potential there.
The potential is there. And we have such a unique situation. We have historic downtown. We have the Center Street corridor, where we have the Beverly Center with the Shakespeare and all that. And then we have the university.
Exactly.
This is not necessarily something you
not
see anywhere else.
That. Yeah.
So, and we have a historic, you know, a historic neighborhood
there.
And so the pieces are there. Now it's just, how can we get people to invest and get the vision?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because we don't want to necessarily just allow anything.
Exactly. You got to do it the right way.
You got to do it the right way. It needs some planning. But so far, even without the planning, we've had some really great things happen. Center Street and what's happening there. And
That's all private. I just saw an article the other day. I don't know if it was you that put it out or somebody else that put it out, but we're one of the top downtowns in the area.
Yeah, it was actually done in 2015, but recirculated.
Okay.
But
that's all right, we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. It's like top 13 places to, you know, to visit.
Yeah.
Downtowns to see in the state of Utah. And of course, yeah. And where else are you going to have a local experience in your downtown?
Exactly.
And that's the other thing too, is so we want to concentrate on authentic experiences. Mm-hmm. So in our destination development, people don't visit so that they can go to the same place that they have in their hometown.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So, and it's, sometimes that's hard for locals to understand. They're like, well, we're not that special. No, we
really
are. There's always something special about a community. Mm-hmm. It's just in your storytelling, how you, you know, how you tell people how you became who you are. And then how you can immerse them in why you're so cool.
I just love that we have been able to kind of tell that story. We've got the heritage, the Livestock Heritage mm-hmm. Festival. I got to tell you, the sheep parade is my favorite.
Oh, it goes yeah. viral. It's viral every year. I love that.
Last year it was on CBS News, and I was so thrilled with that.
That's so great.
You know, because if we have to tell those authentic stories.
So mm-hmm. where else do you have the sheep parade? Right next to the Beverly Center for the Arts, right next to the Shakespeare Festival,
yeah,
right next to awesome dining and boutique shopping.
And a winery and you know, so where else? I mean,
that's
yeah.
I'm moving to Cedar City right now.
Those just things, kidding, yeah, you're like, I already live here. So I think it's just more like, how can we do more of it with the with the energy and resources yeah, that we have?
Exactly.
We're you know, I've said this for years, we're Volunteer City USA yep. as yep. just as much as we are Festival City mm-hmm. USA. Our people give up more of their time than probably any other community that I've ever seen.
I think that is absolutely one of our biggest resources.
It is.
I mean, the willingness of our community to step up and volunteer saves us untold mm-hmm. dollars.
There's no way we could be Festival City USA right. without volunteers.
Without the volunteers. Yeah.
So, and then, you know, how do we keep that going? How yeah. do we keep that energy going? And, you know, it's going to be, it's fun to watch.
Yeah.
Definitely. And it's going to be fun to see what, you know, what more energy into exactly. the community can bring
yeah.
And maybe some funds and, you know, let's see how we can generate some more funds.
Well, you are the fund master.
Well, I'm getting there. So, but we just got a grant from, AARP to do some enhancements in the downtown.
Wow.
So
okay.
It's not a huge grant, but it's still.
But still, that's tax dollars that our local people don't have to spend.
They don't have to spend.
And it's going into bringing in more of those great tourism
yeah.
dollars.
Yep. So
that's fantastic.
But it takes energy and it takes time.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, so that is hard for our office because, again, we have to do our day jobs of
right.
marketing and putting videos together and creating ads and, you know, mm-hmm. But it's still, at the end of the day, it's worth it and it's fun.
Absolutely.
I love that you brought up the year-round aspect, too, because a lot of people say, oh, there's the tourist season, and I'm thinking, there shouldn't be a season. We've got stuff every season.
Yeah.
Every
yeah.
season can be a season. You don't come here just in the summer to mountain bike. Or, you know, say, oh, well, the only thing to do in winter is skiing. Like, mm-hmm. you've got some great recreation in Dixie National Forest, mm-hmm. 20, 30 minutes away from here.
Yeah. And so, in our strategies, there's definitely going to be more of an emphasis on how can we build what we call off-season.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, we are busy from May through about mid-October. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of that is the Shakespeare mm-hmm. Festival and the National Park Visitation. And then Brian Head is a great resource mm-hmm. as well. And now we're just kind of like, how can we get people to stop being afraid of Cedar City and Iron County in the wintertime?
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the new ice rink,
mm-hmm.
I think is going to add to
sure.
this whole winter product.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And then Brian has definitely, they've stepped it up.
Oh, they've so stepped up their game.
Yeah.
Holy There's a
cow.
Lot of investment that's happened up there.
It's been huge in the last 5 years. Huge.
And I think that's definitely picking up.
Absolutely. In fact, I think that this past year was their biggest year ever.
Yes.
Now, all of the snow certainly didn't hurt.
It didn't hurt.
Nope.
But so we partnered with them and with the state. We got a grant out
okay.
of the state. And we did a $400,000 marketing campaign to bring people to Brian Head.
That's fabulous.
And so they had their best season ever. It was over 200,000 skier days.
Wow.
So before started doing this marketing partnership, their skier days were basically down in like, it was like 118, 120.
No kidding.
So over the last 5 years, we've, you know, continue to do uh-huh. this. The year before was their worst snow year ever.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
It was still, and it still ended up being their third best.
Oh, no
year.
Kidding. Okay.
Wow.
So
that's fantastic.
So
yeah.
snow has something to do with it, but yeah. marketing has everything.
Marketing works.
Marketing
I'm
works.
Telling
so.
You. Yeah. That's
and
great.
In the wintertime, that's important.
Sure.
You know, especially yeah. to our small businesses. They're, that is a hard time for them.
Yeah.
There's no
yeah.
doubt. So our emphasis is, definitely is going to be on how can we build more winter? How can we get people to stop being afraid of winter?
Right.
How can we get people who are going to St. George to get away from the winter?
Yeah.
To maybe...
To stop here to and stop, do some winter things.
Do some winter things. Yeah. Or to just discover us. A lot of our mountain biking that we're creating right now is available
most of the year.
Yeah. There are definitely times when you don't want to be on those trails, but if you had a fat bike, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, there are people who go up to Deer Hollow to fat bike in the snow. And
and there's all that beautiful cross-country skiing.
Yeah.
And
you can take your snow machines into Cedar Breaks where they groom everything for you nicely.
Yeah.
So
there's only two in the national park system that allows snow machines, and Cedar Breaks is Yellowstone and Cedar Breaks.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So
that's cool.
You know, but we've got to build some infrastructure to make that better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we have any snowmobile rental places in town.
Not in town. Cedar. There is a tour operator out of Brian Head. But a lot of it is those that have the machines, they can't park them.
Uh-huh.
There's not a place for them to park. So we need, again, when you're, it's not just marketing. It's destination development. It's the product and how we can, you know, it's the infrastructure.
Sure.
Yeah.
So those are the things that we're really wanting to make sure are kind of being addressed now.
Uh-huh.
We've got all these people who want to come to Utah, come to Southern Utah, come to Cedar City, but we want to make sure we're managing their expectations and providing the services that they expect.
Yeah. So you got to back it up a few steps and build it first, and then if you build it, they will come.
If we build it, they will come. But let's build it right.
Right.
You know. Yeah, exactly. So and then you know we're definitely looking at the future. We're in a feasibility study right now about a possible convention center.
Wow.
In Cedar City, a possible event center in Brian Head.
Okay.
You know, it's all just kind of in the air, but we won't. The feasibility study will tell us if it's we could really do it.
If we could pull it off.
We can pull it off if there's a demand, and then it will help us determine how to fund it. But it's not funded through, it's funded through the tourism taxes.
It's not funded from the local people's tax dollars.
So
that's great.
There's definitely things on the horizon in which, we want to
accomplish. So exciting. It's like it's like the job that never ends. There's always something else out there to go reach for. And
I've been in this office for 23 years. Rarely is it the same.
Uh-huh.
Like the routine is, show up and see what
see
day
what
means.
Yeah.
I mean, there are days. So you were talking about how we were in this top 15 or something like that. That stuff doesn't just happen.
Right.
There is someone behind the scenes pitching that to a travel writer. And guess who's doing it? That's generally our office.
Mm-hmm.
So there are days like I'll show up and it'll be, we've got to take a travel writer. So we're taking them on a snowmobile tour or something like that. So we're out in the backcountry, ensuring that they're seeing the best
things that they need to see.
And showing them all the great things about our area. Then the next day it's probably something related to an event. Or I'm busy trying to write a grant. My office is constantly trying to track down all the events in the area because we have, and this is something probably the locals don't realize, but there's always this conversation on the what's happening in Iron County.
Uh-huh.
Why isn't there a place where you can get all the information about all the things? Or what time is the parade?
Uh-huh.
That's the one. I'm like, go to visitcedarcity.com.
Right.
And we have...
Visitcedarcity.com.
There's
your resource.
The comprehensive calendar for Iron County. Every event that we can possibly get our hands on is put into that calendar.
Okay.
So if you're wondering what time the parade starts, go to that calendar.
Visit cedarcity.com. I love it.
But it's a constant. So trying to get people to understand that there's a centralized source.
Yeah.
So, I got people coming to town. What's there to do here?
Mm-hmm.
There's a weekly what's happening that's on there as well. So all the activities that they can do. Everything and anything you possibly could want to do in Iron County is on that
website.
Fantastic.
I'm going to go log in right now.
And
just tell
you can just come to the visitor center.
I just tell people on any given weekend, just go downtown and there'll be something happening.
Yeah.
Just walk around and you'll see it.
And it'd be neater, I'm like, let's start seeing some random stuff. Like, let's just have some people show, start playing music on in the, downtown.
Yeah, some
creating
buskers
atmosphere.
Buskers would be very interesting.
Yeah. So, but... I think that's going to happen. I think I'm those sure things, will, as yeah. energy gets more exciting yep. and yep. more people.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, I know you have a deadline. What else do people need to know about your office and what you do?
I think it's, again, the fact that when people are visiting, they're providing you with that tax relief. So, you know, be nice, you know, and we're nice people anyways, mm-hmm. but, you know, I know that there's times when, you know, Cedar City particularly is busy, traffic's busy,
yeah.
and it's easy to complain.
Uh-huh.
But again, this is you get to experience this great quality of life
exactly.
that is being paid for in a lot of ways.
I'll tell you just a really quick 20-second story. I had some clients in town a couple of weeks ago. It was actually over the 4th of July weekend. And they said, well, what is there to do? So I hooked them up with a list of things to do, told them where to go watch the fireworks. And one of them said, we are so nervous because everywhere we've gone, people seem really standoffish and like nobody Aww. Smiles and nobody makes eye contact. And I said, I guarantee you, when you go out into this community, you will be greeted with a smile. People will say hello. People will give you a wave. They came back the next day and said, wow, we had no idea that a community could be this friendly. So kudos to you, Cedar City. You don't even know that you're being tested, but I send people out and I test you all the time. And you pass with flying colors. Every single time I have people come back and go, I had no idea a community could be this friendly. So
yeah. I think we have a wonderful, again, it goes back to that volunteer mm-hmm. spirit. Mm-hmm. Well, we give until we bleed, practically.
Absolutly.
And mm-hmm. so, well,
and it's part of the culture. It's part of what makes this community so fabulous. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a great point to end on.
Okay.
Thank you so much,
Thank
Maria.
You.
And thanks for what you do and your staff and your office. It's just so amazing the work that happens, you know, sort of under the radar without anybody knowing. So thanks for coming in and giving us your time today.
Thank you for inviting me.
Absolutely. This has been Color Country Politics, and we'll see you next time.
You've been listening to Color Country Politics, a production in cooperation with Utah Politico Hub and graciously sponsored by Century 21 Prestige Realty at 121 North Main Street, Cedar City. Special thanks to Amoeba Crew for use of their song Background Indie Rock, licensed under Creative Commons. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, or wherever fine podcasts are found. Also, check out our YouTube channel where we post video of our interviews. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and our website at www.colorcountrypolitics.com.